Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. When someone is homeless and sleeps on the street, it's not easy to help them find a permanent home and adjust to a new way of life. Now imagine what it's like to help 150 people do that. That's what workers from the nonprofit Elliott Community Human Services have done in Boston over the past year. They've led the effort to find housing for people who were living in a tent encampment near the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard, or Mass and Cass. 1 year ago today, the city declared it a public health emergency. It had become an open-air drug market where disease outbreaks and assaults were common. Elliott Community Human Services already had been working with people there.
It was certainly overwhelming to be in that area and to, you know, have this list of close to 180 clients that we're trying to locate in a large tent encampment.
Mark Bradshaw directs Elliott's housing programs. He says he and his colleagues took it one task at a time.
Realistically, what our motto was from the beginning was to get one thing done a day for each client, and that could just be even one conversation.
Elliott's teams usually go about their jobs quietly. Their work is largely unheralded, but could be considered heroic. Bradshaw and his colleagues went over to Mass and Cass every day. They were armed with mobile printers and forms for their clients to fill out once they could find the clients.
You have to kind of get used to the layout of the actual tent encampment and know that this client's tent is on that corner, this client's tent is on that street. I've seen tents that, you know, have bookshelves and bureaus and TVs. I've seen tents that are tarps that are being held together by really shoddy poles and cement blocks. It's a wide spectrum, but realistically, they're all clients' homes. And it's our job to respect their space and to meet them where they are. What that looks like is going into that tent and doing that housing application in that tent.
Allie Fisk directs outreach and engagement programs for Elliott.
I think that the first thing that crossed a lot of our minds was that everybody had a story before this, and that was really important to us to get to know what that was. They used to play rugby for 20 years or, you know, all these really fun facts. It allowed us to really build rapport and to start establishing trust in the way that we were really wanting to get to know people.
So people know each other. They've established a certain rapport with each other. You're coming in and saying, we want to move you elsewhere. Even if you're saying, we want something better for you. We want a safe, healthy place for you to be. How did you approach that?
So I think we approached it in a way where we were understanding of the fact that people have been marginalized. They're homeless and, you know, experiencing substance use disorders and all sorts of mental health issues, and not framing it in a way that we wanted to take anybody out of their community and move them elsewhere, but really we want to make this right.
A lot of the times what I tell my staff to, you know, frame this transition from the client is the minute that they're inside that apartment, it becomes a million times easier the minute that you close that door behind you and you have your own space and your own bed and your own kitchen. You can start to think about your legal problems, your family issues, your substance use issues, whatever they are. The minute you're inside, all of those issues become manageable.
The folks from Elliott say many people they encounter on the street don't feel worthy of a better life. So the outreach workers try to show them they are. Hope Wiedenhofer oversees Elliott's programs that help keep people stable once they've got a home. She says her team asks clients about their goals so they can find purpose.
You can put someone in an apartment, but they may not have a community. They may not have hobbies, right? They may not have things that make them happy throughout the day. I had a client who wanted to join a choir. She loves to sing. I've gotten multiple people pets. You know, taking care of something, right, like a cat, that gives you purpose. We've got multiple people, bicycles, painting supplies, going back to school, going and getting a job, all sorts of things that you and I kind of take for granted, but living on the street, you don't have the opportunity to do. And once you get housed, you do have the opportunity to do those things.
Some clients reunite with family. Wiedenhofer says there are big challenges, too, but Elliott steps in to make sure as many people as possible hang on to their housing.
I will also say we are serving over 170 stabilization clients right now and have less than a 1% eviction rate. We're the liaison between the landlord and the client. We help make that relationship such that the client can stay in that housing. There are a lot of other programs that have a sobriety requirement in order to get housing. We operate on a housing first model. So we have clients with substance use disorders, you know, have never seen a therapist or a psychiatrist, and getting housing is the first step to then meet with a psychiatrist, you know, pursue maybe a detox or a treatment center, but that's definitely not even close to a requirement for housing for us.
Let me ask the other side of that question, though. I mean, if people are not sober, if they have a problem with addiction, if they don't have a job, if they're in poor health, how are they going to maintain housing?
We create a team around them. You know, they have a stabilization service provider, and the stabilization service provider knows psychiatrists, knows doctors, you know, helps get them Ubers to the doctor whenever they need it, or go to the methadone clinic in the morning. I've definitely called people at 7 a.m. and said, are you on your way to methadone right now? If not, I will get you an Uber. It's a team that we create around these people.
The biggest issue that we have come up when a client moves into a unit is not any substance use issues, it's not any mental health issues, it's not them damaging the unit, it's legitimately them bringing in their friends who are sleeping outside because they feel bad for them sleeping outside. Typically, their friends see them move in and they see a warm roof over their friend's head and they want to sleep on the couch. You have to have some pretty frank conversations with clients about, you know, obviously we understand where you're coming from, but you worked really hard to attain this housing. So you have to, you know, find a different spot for your friends if you want to keep this apartment. And we will do our best to work with your friends to find them housing as well.
So you said 1% or less than 1% have been evicted. What is your goal for determining success?
Our success is that if all of these clients are still in housing and they're living, you know, stabilized, normal lives, that is our success. We want to see them happy and thriving and settling into their new apartments. And we don't want to see folks back on the street. We don't want to see folks evicted. We want to wrap services around them and let them just go about their lives.
That was Mark Bradshaw, Hope Wiedenhofer, and Allie Fisk. They direct housing, stabilization, and outreach programs for Elliott Community Human Services. Over the past year, the organization has found permanent housing for 150 people who were living on the streets of Boston's Mass and Cass area. This note, people still congregate around Mass and Cass 9 months after the encampment was cleared. And nearly 200 people who were living there are still waiting for permanent housing. They are now in transitional housing and shelter programs the city set up. At WBUR.org, you can find the story of one man who was living at Mass and Cass, but has since been housed with Elliott's help, Revere native and former Red Sox minor league pitcher Mike Spinelli.